Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Being surrounded by the surf culture, Luke Deneef soon found himself caught up in drugs and alcohol addiction. After years of struggling with belonging, Luke is finding his true identity through learning who God is and who God created him to be. Isn't that a wonderful discovery? Wouldn't that be a blessing to you? Well, it certainly would be to me. For us, you know, to finally know that God created us and that He created us for a purpose, and then to learn how to walk in that way. And that's why we have the Good Life Radio Show, is to remind you that indeed God loves you so much, my friend, that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, today, right now, at this moment, calls you to Himself. Would you come to Him? Would you open your heart to Jesus? And then you'll be able to experience even what Luke is experiencing, the knowledge of God, the experience of God, and walking in the ways of the Lord. You know, today Luke is a local artist doing live art events in Chinatown, bringing the light of Christ to its darkest alleys. Ironically, the bar scene. He also calls himself a soul surfer, soul with, your soul, S-O-U-L, with a mission to share the love of Jesus with those he encounters in the water. He's a member of Impact Fellowship. Luke, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up at a young age in Waipahu and was raised on the North Shore in my intermediate years in high school.
When you hear the word grandparent, is there a special special ring, resonance to the meaning of that in your life?
Yeah, it was somebody that loved and cared for me and taught me all that I needed to respect others and to share my love with one another. My grandparents were the epitome of love.
When you think of them, what comes to mind? Some vivid recollection of grandma, grandpa.
My grandma was someone I really remember more than my grandpa. My grandpa was in the war. He fought in Pearl Harbor. I think he had post-traumatic stress in his later years, and he kept to himself a lot. My grandma was the one that was the life of the household. She was a very strong Catholic background, and she believed in Christ and God, and she taught us how to care for one another. And pretty much, I prayed every morning. Every night, she taught me the Bible from the front to back, and she kind of took me under her wing from a really young age. I just remember her vividly, her big smile, and always sharing her comfort. And she was somebody I looked up to a lot.
What were the circumstances under which Grandma and Grandpa adopted you?
My family was very caring and loving family, and we had our fair share of hardships. My uncle and them were very deep into organized crime. And when my uncle at the time got sent away to jail, I lived with my auntie, who we spent a lot of time with. When my, you know, we had a big family. We always stayed at one house. Everyone came there. And when my dad and my mom split up, he couldn't take care of us because he was heavy into drugs and alcohol. And she ended up surprising us, and I think I was 8 years old at school, to take us to the court. And me and my sister, I have an older sister, didn't know anything at the time. And when we got there, we found out that we were being adopted by my grandparents. And being at a young age, I didn't realize what the experience really felt like emotionally. But they were crying, and they were happy for me. And now that I'm older, I'm so grateful that they ended up doing that and taking us into their house and adopting us as their children, because they pretty much saved us from being left around from house to house. Because my dad and my mother, they were young when they had us, and they did whatever they could at their young age to provide for us, but they were struggling. So my grandma was the one that wanted to take care of us, and that was something that I was so grateful for.
I think about grandma, your grandma. Mm-hmm. I think about the many grandmas who are the unsung heroes today. Their house is full of kids. they've raised their kids.
Yes.
But now they have grandkids.
Yeah.
And the Lord knows the circumstances and people's feelings or, you know, thoughts about these things. But it just seems to me that there's a grandparents' love that transcends even reason. Yeah. Reason that sometimes infuriates those that can't get over the logic of how you or why you would do it. Yeah. Or even that goes beyond even the economics. Yeah. Of how do you make it work. But grandma and grandpa, somehow they make do. They make it work because they cannot leave the little one. Yeah. Alone. Mm-hmm. on his or her own. You're a beneficiary of that, Luke, and what a fine young man. I'm sure you've made them proud. Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
My older cousin. As I was mentioning earlier, the household that we used to spend a lot of time in was my auntie. And that was my grandma's oldest son's wife. Yeah. And when my grandma passed away, she left us with her because she was emulated the same thing that she did. She took care of all the children. She brung in kids off the street, a lot of my friends, my cousin's friends that were struggling with their life at the time. And my oldest cousin was somebody that I really looked up to because he did everything awesome. He could draw really good. He could surf amazing. And I just liked the energy that he had. And I used to watch him sketch, and I used to copy him in my books when I go to school. And he just drew this one little stick wave with a pencil, and I kept drawing that same one every single time. And I think he kind of slowed down when he got a little older, and I just kept doing that, you know. And then it kind of evolved into something different. I remember being in Idaho when I was in first grade, and I drew this big mural of all these dinosaurs, and I drew each dinosaur pretty much detailed. And the teacher told my grandma, like, this kid's crazy. He can draw so amazing. And I think that kind of clicked for me as a kid. And I thank him pretty much every day for what he does, what he did that, you know, sparked that interest in me and, you know, revealed what God's gift was to me.
How did it feel to know that you had a gift, something extraordinary?
I can get to that question in a few ways. I didn't really realize that it was a gift that I had in the beginning. I thought it was just like a hobby that I had. Through intermediate, I just drew things for people, not knowing that it was like a talent or a gift. And then when I got to high school is when it kind of set in. I didn't know how to fit in. We just moved to Kahuku after living in Waipawa. It was a total culture shock. From concrete jungle to the country, I didn't know how to fit in. And I started surfing. My older cousin inspired me to surf too. So I got into that surf scene and understanding the ocean, and I love nature. When I was at home and I didn't have any friends, I would just paint and draw. And then when my other classmates noticed how well my drawings and my paintings were, then it started to catch on. Then people would bring me into their groups, their cliques. And then another inspiration was my teacher, Miss Balbarona. She was very inspiring to me. She took me under her wing, and she actually let me paint during photo class and during art class because she wanted me to pursue my art. And everyone would be like, why does he get to just draw when we're doing photo class? And she's like, because he's so good at what he does. And she just wanted me to be great at what I did. And that's when it started to click, you know, that that's something that was a gift, a really big gift. And I'm so grateful.
The gift has grown. It's been cultivated. It's been refined. He is sharing his art right here in Hawaii, in Chinatown. But there is more to the story than just that. Of course, he's doing it, around the bar scene. It might strike you as a bit out of the ordinary, perhaps even challenging your sensitivities of the bounds of how far we should go. Well, we'll talk about that and the inspiration, the drive, the passion. You know, sometimes we can be so passionate, a lot of peripheral concerns sort of fade away, especially when it talks about God's love, especially when you yourself have been a recipient of the mercy and grace of Almighty God. Luke Deneef is in studio sharing heart to heart with us. He'll share heart to heart with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Luke Deneef was adopted by his Catholic grandparents. He was raised in the church until they passed away. He was taken in by his loving auntie, and she raised him, his older sister, and three cousins on the north shore of Oahu. He discovered a gift in art, painting and drawing, inspired by his older cousin. He's taken it to another level. His own teacher saw that gift in him, and she wanted him to really work on it. You know, when someone is a fine artist, they are attuned to the very details, specifics. Every marking, every movement, every angle has a reason, a purpose. It sort of reminds me of the way God works his artful creativity in our lives. There is a purpose, there's a reason, there's for every wrinkle even that exists. God is there, and we could take comfort and even gain strength in the knowledge of that. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, here with Luke Deneef. You can tune in. If you're tuning in right now, you can get the show in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com, and you can get that and other resources as we go along in our program. Luke, I want you to take us back. You there on the North Shore were involved in this surfing. You love nature. You love the water, a waterman. How did drugs and alcohol come in to the picture of this life that God has so artfully created?
Well, I started dabbing with marijuana when I was about 11. And I was living in Waipahu at the time when we moved over to Kahuku. That kind of followed me there, and being in the surf culture, a lot of people smoke marijuana, and if you drink or if you smoke, I mean, you kind of get in with people, and I found some friends that surfed really well, and we ended up being very good friends, and they were my inspiration to me in the water, and we shared a lot of the same likes, ocean, art, and weed, of course. And that kind of brought us together a lot. And when I graduated high school, I didn't start drinking, actually, until when I was in 12th grade. And then once I graduated, I was doing my own thing. I had my own car. My auntie was gracious enough to buy me a car. And I would go out to nightclubs. I'd meet girls. I would hang out with my friends. We would stay out really late at night. And I started, you know, dabbing into other things. And then it wasn't until I lived on my own. I was living with another girlfriend at the time. She ended up cheating on me. And I ended up moving out of her house. And then that's kind of when I started not caring about what I did. And then I got into doing cocaine and doing ecstasy. And it started off with just being a fun recreational drug, and then it ended up actually kind of consuming my life. I met Tihani, and we were in a honeymoon stage for a year, and we both drank, and we would drink when we would go out to clubs and party and stuff, and it actually hurt our relationship after a year, because we would be hanging, we'd be coming off of the drugs that we were on, and we would end up hurting each other, because you know, when you're coming down, you're really depressed, you're really sad, you don't know what's going on, so you kind of take out your anxiety on each other. And I was at a point where we were getting abusive to each other. I would never hit Tihani or anything, but we would, you know, push each other or try to calm each other down. And there were so many nights where we'd be yelling in our house and waking up the neighborhood pretty much. And there was a point where I almost committed suicide. I was I think a lot to myself, and I was so depressed that I couldn't make her happy, because she was somebody that I loved, but she didn't think that I did, that I loved her as much as I did. Maybe because she's been hurt by a lot of other guys, and that hurt me that I couldn't switch her perspective on what kind of guy I was. And I remember laying in her room on her bed, and I was gonna kill myself. I was gonna slice my wrist. I don't know how I was gonna do it, but something just told me not to do it. And I was crying super hard, and something told me not to do it, so I ended up not doing it. And then we ended up kind of mending our relationship after a few experiences, and then the partying continued on until like 2 years ago. And I slowed down doing ecstasy and all those other nightclub kind of drugs. Tihani was the one that slowed down, and she stopped partying. And I still worked at a bar when I was when we actually started going to church. Her brother came over 2 years ago and was having a rough time, stayed with us. And I grew up with a Catholic background, and I thought I knew my walk with God. I believed in him, but I didn't utilize him enough, you know. And she would always ask me about scriptures and stuff, and I thought I knew what I knew what I knew. And then we went to C4, which was New Hope at the time, and it opened my eyes to something different. Growing up in a traditional church, traditional Catholic church, it's really repetitive. You have to perform a lot. And my grandma always taught me how to get on my knees and pray and all that stuff. But I could never really pay attention. And after this experience, going to New Hope Diamond Head, I was like blown away from the music and the dancing and the praising that they did, the worship. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. Go back to work and start drinking and getting wasted again. And then I'm hanging at church, you know, I'm still worshiping, thinking that I'm doing great. And then a year later, we got baptized. And when I got baptized at New Hope, I thought I had a holy force field around me. I thought nothing was going to change. Nothing was going to affect me from all the evil that was around me. Because I was deeply struggling with alcoholism. And I was the one that would stay up late at night when everybody would stop partying. I would continue drinking and try to keep the party going. And that was hurting me on the inside. I'd go running up to the store right up from my house and go buy a 40. And I would fall asleep just drunk, wake up the next morning and try to do it again. And Tihani started realizing what I was doing. She could smell the alcohol in me when I'd come home from work. I'll try to hide it by eating a lot of food right after I drink and stuff. And I could never hide it from her, because when somebody's not drinking, you can totally smell whatever that person is doing. I thought I was doing a good job of hiding it. And it wasn't until last year in October, I was drinking at work, and I blacked out in the morning. I was drinking during a morning shift, and I completely blacked out, and I ran amok on on our property, our work property, and I ended up getting fired from that job. And I was broken. I was on my knees and I was crying and I didn't know what I was gonna do. I felt like I was the provider. I was making good money and I had a good job, but I didn't know how I was gonna provide for us. And Tihani graciously, I feel like, was God speaking through her, because her reaction could have been something so different. In previous incidents, before we met God, she would respond very different. She would be more negative and put me down more. But she looked at it as a positive thing. You know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe this was supposed to happen to you. And I didn't think that was supposed to happen. And I kept trying to keep my job in that week that they were doing the trial of figuring out what to do. And I remember missing a service at New Hope, which is C4 now. And it was about Samson and Delilah. And I never really realized the Samson and Delilah story until I experienced what he experienced. He experienced the grace of God, but he boasted so high to others that he was so protected by him that he could do anything. And that's what I thought I did. But then until I got really broken was when I really experienced his grace. And he started blessing me with connections to people through my art. And he spread his love through her to me. And I found a new job right after that.
When it's when you come to the dead end, it's a dead end. You don't know it's a crossroads. It just feels like a dead end. You can't see anywhere else. It certainly doesn't feel like there's anywhere else to go. And that's where a lot of us can at times get so helpless and hopeless that the despair is overwhelming. But the dead end in the plan of God, as you have experienced, as you've just described, is really a crossroads. It's as though through the brokenness, maybe even figuratively, symbolically, the tears that you shed, the tears that we shed, is a way, symbolically, figuratively, to clear our eyes so we can see past the barrier of the dead end, and right above or beyond or around it, there's a crossroads. You are at the crossroads. Someone today, Luke, is at the crossroads. And as much as Tihane, your fiance, shared words of hope and direction and purpose with you, you, my friend, share that with our dear listeners today. Let the tears wash away the dead end and see the crossroads that God has you on. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you know, you come to a point sometimes in life where you feel invulnerable, impenetrable, impregnable. You're bound for success. You cannot fail. Too much is going for you, and you become blinded. And we've all been there. I've been there. It's a little bit scary now. It's a little bit scary when I get like that. But you know what? Sometimes when it's really serious, I don't even know because I'm blinded by it. We can be so blinded by pride, so blinded by how things, we don't even know how far we're drifting away from God. We don't even know that we might be giving lip service to praising God. We may be robotically doing the spiritual, the Christian thing. But in reality, our hearts are swelled with pride. And we're blinded. And then we can be blindsided. And when we're blindsided, suddenly we get closer to the truth of who we really are, where we're really at in our life, and who God really is in the midst of our situation and circumstances. Luke Deneef is here sharing something somewhat relatable to that. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so grateful that you're with us today, and I just sense, of course it's my hope, but I just sense that this program, as Luke shares, is a blessing from the Lord to you. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this program in its entirety for free. Please share it with a family member or friend. And so, Luke, okay, here you are. You're at the crossroads, which at another time would have seemed like a dead end, but you're at the crossroads. You lose your job. What happens?
I lose my job, and I remember missing a service from church, and a series about Samson and Delilah. And I remember watching it on our computer because I wasn't there, but I was so desperate for answers and for help. And when Pastor Fernando was speaking about the service about Samson Delilah, I totally felt it resonating with my experience at that moment. I was completely broken, like Samson was. I lost everything. I didn't have any power. I boasted so much about how great I was as a Christian at that time that I felt like, how could that happen to me? And I never really asked God for help. I think that's what he, you know, questioned why I didn't ask him for help anymore. And I wanted to do everything on my own. And he wanted me at my most broken moment, at my most broken experience. I didn't know how I was going to get a job. I didn't know what I was going to do next. I got kind of desperate. I just, you know, I reached out to a bunch of art community friends that I knew, emailed everyone, which I haven't done in the past, which I should have been doing, you know, to keep my art going. I kind of just put my art on the back burner throughout 2 years of my bar life. And I kept watching this service of Samson Delilah go on, and every single service that went on, it totally hit me every single time. You know, he asked God for this one last chance, one last gift from him to help him to defeat these enemies that he had. And I felt like that was me. So I just felt something tugging that he wanted me to, you know, apply for another job somewhere, you know, positive, somewhere that's not in the realm of drugs and alcohol. And I think I shared, I applied to Whole Foods, which was a health and wellness company, you know. I mean, they share health all over the place. And a month or two went by, and I just felt like, oh, they're not going to hire me. I don't know. I got fired from somewhere. I don't know how that's going to look on my resume. And I ended up getting a response back, and I got hired, and I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like, thank you so much, God. Thank you so much. And then people that I've emailed about my art started emailing me back, and I did one event, and then one event turned into two events. And then people started liking what I shared with them, my art. And right now our art shows are being sold out. I teach art classes every first and third Saturday of the month, and it's getting a big response right now. Actually bigger than we thought. So God has been blessing me.
Tell me about the event. You mentioned the art event. What happens in the event?
Events. I every first Friday of every month, I've been doing live art shows. I paint on stage live. I finish a complete piece within 4 hours. And then on the first and third Saturdays, I teach art classes. It's called a sangria and paint party, which is ironic. Everyone gets a free sangria, and then they get a free poo-poos and get a canvas that they paint on. I teach the class. I teach them how to paint the painting for the night. And just sharing a good experience with friends and family who want to learn how to paint a painting.
And this four-hour painting that you do, somebody buys it?
I actually take it home. People can buy it there.
They can if they want.
Yeah, I sell some artwork there sometimes. And the most awesome thing is two of my first live art shows, I've been painting an abstract series called the Life. I can't really think of it right now. But it's about the Holy Spirit, and it's a representation of the Holy Spirit. And it's all involves colors, bright colors, with the dove floating in the center of the piece. And I'm getting a really good reaction about it from a lot of the people. And I don't feel scared to share that that's what the painting is about. And I'm getting a really good reaction right now.
So in 4 hours, you're performing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are coming to watch you do it.
Yeah.
Is it people sit down, or they can come and stand and as long as they want, and they move on? But you're actually performing this. Are you addressing the crowd, the audience, as you paint?
Yeah, I interact with them. You know, it's just like me working. I take a break. I step back. I kind of visualize what I want, the steps I want to do next. Spirit of Life is what this series is called, actually. Mm-hmm. And people do the art walk every first Friday through Chinatown, and they come in and they can stand or sit. We have chairs and stuff that they can sit down. But when they walk in and they see a live artist, you know, it just kind of grabs their attention.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to see what you're doing, right? And with this style of painting that I'm doing, it's totally free. A lot of my other paintings that I do, I really have to have a lot of detail, and I'm really detail oriented. Tiani knows this. If I see something from a far away on my painting that I don't like, I can't help but to go back and correct it. But with this painting, she inspired me to do it more too. It stressed me out so much that when I painted it, I felt like I was doing something wrong. But she said, "But no, it's something free that you're doing." So when I started doing it, I actually started getting better at just letting go and just having fun with it. I think I was thinking about it too much, you know. And I love this series now because it totally resonates what God wants me to do. I mean, you know, it's free, it's loving, it's inspiring, it's bright, and I just love everything about it.
Now, what about you mentioned the bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
How does this play into that? Where is it done? Is it done close to a bar, near a bar, in a bar? Explain, give us some context to, you know, how or where you're doing it. Mm-hmm.
Two of these events, the first Friday and the first Sangria Paint parties that I do, are in bars. The first is at Next Door, Hawaii, and the next is at Bar 35. And it's totally ironic because I was battling with alcoholism just recently, last year, and actually for 10 years, actually. I battled through cocaine and ecstasy, and alcohol was my drug of choice when I wanted to come down, and alcohol is what got me fired from my job. And when I was at my most broken stage, I was willing to do anything to save myself, my relationship with my friends, my family, especially my girlfriend, and mostly with God. I volunteered myself to go do a few AA classes, and I committed to it for a few weeks, and I was in that moment, I was doing anything I can to break this habit and break this addiction. And it was leaving me, but something was telling me that God was telling me that, you know, he didn't want me to be there. He believes in the AA's 12-step programs, but I felt him telling me that he has this one-step program was through him. And I ended up drifting away from the classes and just doing everything through him, reading through scriptures, reading my Bible, being connected with people at church, especially with my girlfriend, my fiance now. And she actually would question why I still did my art in a bar. And my pastor, TJ, actually, I shared him my experience, and he told me, you know, maybe you've been there. You're the light for the people that can't be reached, you know, because it's such a dark place.
Let's come back to that, because I'm sure people wonder. You struggle with alcoholism, and then you go back to the place. It's like going back to a den. A den where you have struggled. But your pastor had a word, had a reason for it, that God has been doing a work in you. Hey, sometimes things, I mean, even Tihani questioned. So let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Because for some people, it's a black and white, cut and dry. You don't go. For others, it's questionable. For others, beyond that, they might even say, well, there are certain quality characteristics that you have that makes you relatable to others. Hey, this is not an easy answer, but that's why we have a talk show. We can talk about it when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, how important is fellowship? How important is accountability? Especially if we're going through a process of transition from a lifestyle change that really has been hindering to our progress, hindering to even our health. Well, when it comes to accountability, one thing I have found is that when I put myself right in there, drifting from fellowship and not being aware that I'm drifting, and I'm reminded of that. If I'm able to receive it, that's a good thing. If I'm not able to receive it, and I don't even know it, that's a more serious matter. If I go beyond not knowing and I become defensive about this matter of fellowship, I'm pretty much in a place of danger. Great, great, great danger, or maybe grievous danger, and I don't even know it at that point. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but the Lord knows, and you may not know, others around you may know, but as you listen to Luke, Deneef, let your heart be softened by the Spirit of God working, moving, speaking, even through him, about these matters of sensitivity, because we all have weaknesses. We all have areas that are darker in our lives, places in our lives that we don't necessarily talk about. Hopefully, people that are closest to us know about certain struggles that we have, And therefore, in the reality of the spiritual life, we can grow in and through that. Of course, with the help of the Lord. Luke, as you have been going through this process of change, here you are struggling with alcoholism, but you're back doing your art, which you love to do and you do exquisitely well, in a bar environment. You shared it with your pastor. What did Pastor TJ say to you?
He told me that sharing my experience in a bar was something good because I was being a light for people that are in the dark. And a good way to express that right now is actually I have a good friend that is the coordinator at one of our events. And she was struggling with alcohol actually just recently. And she came up to me while I was painting on stage during the middle of my painting. And she asked me if I wanted a drink. You know, I just wanted some water, but she didn't know that. So she's like, you want some alcohol? You want something to drink? And I told her, no, I don't need anything. You know, just water's fine. And all night she kept asking me. And I think she started to drink throughout the night too. So she kind of wondered why I wasn't asking for a drink. And I always, every single night that I work at those nightclubs, I try to get out at the exact time that the cutoff time for me to finish my art. Usually at 10 o'clock is when the nightclub starts. I get my things together and I try to get out as soon as I can, because once that crowd starts to come in, I just want to be out of there. It's not that something that I feel pressured that I'm going to be craving something or anything. I just don't feel that's my moment to be in. And God just tells me, this is where you're at. This is where you're supposed to be at this time. I'm trying to move on. And him sharing those words to me actually helped me through my experiences at these events, because after Tihani questioned why am I still doing these art events in nightclubs and in bar scenes, I started to question and ask God too, like, is this where you want me to be? Is this benefiting me, or is this benefiting other people? And when I shared that with my pastor TJ, he was when he responded to me that way, it totally, I think it was God talking through him to me, because it totally made sense, you know. People love the art that I do, and my art is all about love, and I praise God about it, and I give all the glory to him about all my things. I share it to all the people there. Some of them aren't believers, and a few people that I've mentioned it to, they're like, what, that's the Holy Spirit? Like, are you a Catholic? I'm like, no, I'm a Christian, but yeah, we both believe in God. And and it's just awesome that I can share my I can be confident in sharing it with them, to what my paintings mean and stuff.
There is a part in me, Luke, as an evangelist. Evangelists typically, traditionally, are known to be a little bit edgy, pushing the bounds of the societal norms of Christianity. Edgy because we may do things to reach people that others may not do or contemplate the possibility of doing. It's unnerving, uncomfortable, and sometimes even unacceptable. I'm sure people who are listening to you today are being challenged with the struggle of this whole thing, and it's, they have their opinions, and they have their back. They might even be able to support things biblically, mm-hmm. as much as you would be able to support your position biblically as well. Some may consider it a gray area. Your heart is to reach people. Certainly there are warnings you need, I would share. Be very cautious mm-hmm. in the environment. It's good that you have these disciplines in place of when you will leave the fellowship with your church. It's good that you consulted with your pastor and your covering. That's a spiritual covering over you. The Lord is interested not only in what Luke Deneve does in this season of life, but he's preparing you for even the future seasons of life as a husband, as by God's grace, future father and grandfather. And there is an ebb and flow in life. So there's these certain anchors that need to be there in life. And at the same time, personally, an admiration for the boldness and the courage to step out as you are. You've gone through much, my friend. And so in the next minute, as we begin to wrap up our show, a parting shot to someone who is coming back from thinking there was a dead end in life and now knowing, as you know, that it really was a crossroads. In the midst of transition, a parting shot to someone, a word of encouragement to them as they begin to make sense out of life with the help of God. What would you say?
I would say just believe in God and believe what he can do to you in life transformation. I didn't really mention this earlier, but when I was going through my most broken stage just recently, before I lost my job, I was drinking, and I would drink right before church too. I was so in an uneasy stage that when I'd get off of work, I started volunteering at work to try to get some answers, and I would be drunk while I was at work. I mean, at church. And then I was still involved with finding drugs and stuff. And I think God wanted me to be vulnerable enough and be open and be broken for him to experience, for me to experience the blessings that he has for me. I wanted everything for myself, and I felt like I could do everything that I wanted for me with just me. But staying connected with other people and staying connected with the Word is something that has been helping me every single day. And cravings of alcohol or drugs are obsolete now to me. Just the thought of things just make my stomach cringe. That's how awesome he has transformed me. And I'm just saying, trust in him in anything that you're doing. Just because you can't see him, just because you can't smell him, you can't feel him, doesn't mean that he's not there. And he wants you to know that. And he touches my heart every single day.
And that's a heart-to-heart word. May the Lord touch your heart as well as he encourages you through Luke Deneve. My friend, thank you for being with us today. And dear one, as you have shared and spent this time with us, I hope you've been inspired by this man, Luke Deneve. You know what? God's timing is perfect. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, I think this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you go to thegoodlife.com, click Get to Know Jesus? You know, I've got a presentation for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us and help us with our financial support, your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click partners. And I want to thank you in advance for that. 2 Thessalonians 1:12 says, "We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Luke Deneve. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.